today we celebrate the annual festival of First Fruits. Among other things, as been mentioned, we commemorate the founding of the New Testament Church of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we first came into contact with the teachings of the Church of God, our minds had to be opened to the amazing things. We had to go through the process of a conversion, which of course has to continue through the rest of our life, in which we had to unlearn error that we grew up with. One of the things we had to overcome was the background teaching about the Trinity. We had to undo years of instruction about the Trinity. God is a family. He is not a closed Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a hypostasis, from the Greek meaning standing state. The Holy Spirit is the dynamic power of God that emanates or flows out from him like breath or water. So it came as quite a disappointment recently in a conversation with a longtime friend, former church member. He has returned to the belief of the Trinity. I said, what explanation have you got for this decision to go back to what we had to unlearn? He said, well, it's obvious. If you look in the Bible, and he said, well, particularly in John, unless you look with me, please, in John 14, 16 and 17, this is the particular scripture he referred to, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16, Christ is speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. He said, there you are, another person, he, whom, him. I said, well, that was a translation by people who were completely stuck on the Trinity, and they changed the Greek to fit in with their belief system. I do understand that the Comforter, the word Greek is Parakletos, reference 3875 in Strong's Concordance. In the Greek language, that has the male gender. In English, we're so sloppy, we don't bother with gender. Normally, we add something we call a car a woman. But that's not normally the way we do things. It's just that or it. It's why we struggle so much learning any other language, because they have rules. The brilliance of the British is that we don't have rules in our language. You can cobble together anything you like, and it can be more accurate because of the sloppiness, if you like. But the Greeks were more orderly, and Parakletos carried the male gender. And rather like in the autobiography of Winston Churchill when he was at school, he complained, why do I want to know how to address a table? And, you know, this is what it sort of fits into. But what it was talking about, describing God's Holy Spirit, the Greek pneuma, reference in Strong's 4151, which is neuter gender. Now, when you are talking about something, the rule is the thing you are talking about establishes the gender. So you ignore the fact that the Comforter is male in gender, and you adjust to the fact that the breath is a thing, an it. This is an aside. In 1 John, the epistle of 1 John 2, verse 3, just make a note of this. Jesus Christ is our advocate. The same word, Parakletos. Christ is our Comforter. But he promised to send the Comforter. John 14, verse 17 should more appropriately be rendered, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it sees it not, nor knows it, but you know it, because it dwells with you and shall be in you. It's not a person coming into us. We want Jesus Christ to live through us. We don't want this sort of split schizophrenic personality. We've got two people vying for our attention in our brain. We've got enough problems in our brain without that. Look over, please, with me in Romans 8:14, starting in verse 4. This is why it is so important to get this simple fact straight. And the nature and the strength, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, starting in verse 14. I didn't spend any time explaining to my friend over the phone. I knew it was a waste of time. But I did build up a certain amount of frustration, which may be apparent. I apologise if it detracts too much from what I'm trying to say. In verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The input of God's Holy Spirit has enormous ramifications. For we have not received the spirit of bondage. Here's a spirit. No one makes the mistake of thinking this spirit is a personality, an hypostasis, again in fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, King James writes. It's sonship. It's more than adoption. The begettal of the Holy Spirit makes the relationship one of a son or daughter. Well, we always refer to a son. Whereby, the relationship, whereby we cry to God, Abba, Father. Abba is a familiar, it's like in the vernacular English, daddy, papa. A really close relationship. Verse 16, the Spirit itself. The King James actually gets it right this time. The other translations tend not to. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that relationship is made possible by the power of God, the Holy Spirit coming into our lives when God drew us to him. This is so important. It is not a pseudo-spook. It is the power, the dynamic power of God. Yes, God is spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the power that comes from God and does the will of God. And this is the gift, is what we're celebrating today. The start of the New Testament church, the giving of the Holy Spirit. If you could look over with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we see the sort of the context, in context, the use of the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We start towards the end. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is how important the Holy Spirit is. When it came into our lives, we were sealed, set apart. God put his mark on us, the stamp, his signet ring, sealed us, which is the earnest of our inheritance, or the down payment, a small start. We only received a tiny piece of God's Spirit at our conversion. It is a continuing process. The Spirit must flow through us. We're not suddenly grafted on with this extra person. It is the power of God flowing through us, empowering us through redemption of the purchased possession onto the praise of his glory. I want to read quite a bit of this, so excuse me catching through, getting the context. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of your prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, God the Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. This spirit is a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. In what opens our minds so we can understand God the Father and Jesus Christ. This wisdom, this revelation, it's a fantastic thing. It's not another personality. The eyes of 18, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, We're talking about God's incredible power in his willingness to share that with us. We need Jesus Christ to live in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not a ghost, not a spook. This is incredible, something that we can really, really be grateful that we have a part in this. And we have to be so careful of translations that have followed in the same line. The King James Version is bad, but most of the others are universal in the use of the inappropriate use of the male pronoun, he instead of it. And please, when you are reading the Bible, don't be fooled by a simple translation error. Take everything in context. It doesn't make sense, the Trinity. Even the people who believe in the Trinity admit it doesn't make sense. What do they say? If you try to understand it, you will go mad. If you will lose your mind. But if you don't believe it, you will lose your soul. So that's the expert view on the Trinity. So I hope none of you have been offended. I'm just glad to get that off my chest. I was unable to tell my friend, but I have had the privilege and opportunity to tell you.